There's a line that says, I have a purpose and a plan for each of them. That means you. God has a purpose for all of us, whether it's Johnson Wu in China, whether it's JW in Oklahoma, Rochelle, Wade, each of us has a plan. Arlene, God has a plan for you. And this morning, I want to visit with you about what it means to go through life without fear in fulfilling the plan that God has for us. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was crucified, described the way that Jesus made his way to Jerusalem to die for you. And the prophet said he had his face set like flint. Now what that means is, the face of Jesus was firm, hard. The word flint here translates a Hebrew word, calcamish. It was a hard rock that was very common in Israel. And when the prophet said, Jesus went to the cross to die for you with his face hard, it means that nothing could distract him from his purpose. In his love for you, he was going to die in your stead, paying the price you and I owe for our sins. And his face was set like flint. This morning, I want to speak to you about a face of flint in the face of fright. And I want to show you how you, as a person, wherever you are right now in your life, you have a decision to make maybe this week. Or possibly you're on a new course of life. You're on a new journey. It could be some of you are starting a new job. Others of you have lost a loved one. And you're like, how am I going to make it? Well, I want to give you and me some encouragement from the last few verses of Luke 13. And I want you to see how Jesus went to the cross for you. And even in the face of fright, he was full of love and full of confidence and never flinched from God's purpose for his life. Let's begin reading in Luke chapter 13 and verse 31. The Bible says, just at that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus, saying to him, go away, leave here. And the here is Jerusalem and the surrounding area. For Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus said to them, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. Nevertheless, I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, from this text, I can learn two or three things about myself as I seek to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. Number one, there is to be no fear in me, like there was no fear in Jesus. Notice what is happening in our text. Verse 31, the Bible says, some Pharisees, religious leaders, come to Jesus and say, hey, listen, Jesus, King Herod is wanting to kill you. Now, this is the same Herod that beheaded John the Baptist, cut his head off. And when Jesus hears this, he says, you go and tell that fox. Now, I find it interesting that Herod liked to call himself a lion. We know that from history. Jesus calls him a fox. You go tell that fox, behold, I work today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal, or I will be perfected. Now, what does Jesus mean here? Well, I think we all can understand he's not afraid of Herod, calling him a fox. But what does he mean? Today, I work. Tomorrow, I work. And on the third day, I am perfected. Now, some people believe that that's a reference to the cross, and it very well could be a prophetic statement of how he would be in the tomb for 3 days, and on the third day, he will rise. But many commentators, and I'm kind of in agreement with them, think that Jesus is just using a phrase that was common in his day, similar to the way that we Okies will often use phrases that illustrate what we mean, like, it's raining cats and dogs. It doesn't mean it's literally raining cats and dogs, it just means it's raining hard. This phrase, today I cast out demons and cure the sick. Tomorrow I do the same thing, and on the third day I am perfected, was a way that the Jews would say, hey, listen, nothing is going to dissuade me from my work. Nothing will stop me. Now listen to me very carefully. This morning, understand that the purpose of God will be fulfilled in your life. Even the king of this world cannot stop it. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, whatever God's purpose is, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what his purpose for your life is. I don't know if it's to teach English in Hammond, Indiana for a year and go back to China. I don't know if it's to get out of confinement and to find a job and to make an impact on your family. I don't know what the purpose of God is for your life. Listen to me, though. God's purpose will not fail. Do you remember the verse that the prophet Isaiah used in describing Jesus? His face was set like flint. It's in Isaiah 50, verse 7. You know what the beginning of that verse says? The sovereign Lord of heaven will help me. Therefore, my face is set like flint. When you know the sovereign God of the universe, the one who flung the stars and sustains the world, then you can rest confidently that even when things happen to you that you don't understand why they happen, you don't know where they came from, you can't even feel as if right now you can handle the situation you're in, take heart. Listen carefully. You're okay. The purpose of God will be fulfilled in your life. And this is exactly what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees who told him Herod wanted to take his life. You go tell that fox, I'm going to continue ministering today, I will minister tomorrow, and I will complete my work. I will finish it. And that is true of your life as well. For you see, the goal of God in your life will be accomplished as much as his purpose. Someone says, well, now wait a minute, can I not thwart the will of God in my life? Can I not stop God from fulfilling what he desires to do in my life? Well, I ask you, who are you going to agree with? The opinions of man on this subject or the Word of God? Listen to what the Word of God says. He who began a good work in me, he will carry it on to completion, to perfection, unto the coming of Jesus Christ. Don't waste your sorrows. Everything that has happened in your life happens for a purpose, and God is ultimately orchestrating everything for your good. It may not feel like it right now, but that's what God is doing. The Bible says of Jesus, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. When Jesus died on the cross for you, he suffered for you. But that was the goal of God. That was the purpose of God. He sent his son to die in your stead. No greater love has any man than this, that your God would lay down his life for you. So now watch. as Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and this is the last time he comes to the city of Jerusalem. This is the last time he makes the trip. He's going to go to the cross for you. He loves you that much, he's going to die in your stead. And as he's making his way to Jerusalem, some people come to try to dissuade him from going to Jerusalem. They say, get out of here. You need to leave Jesus because King Herod, the one who cut the head off of John the Baptist, he wants to kill you too. And Jesus says, you go tell that fox, I will finish what I've started. Ooh. Wouldn't you think he'd be a little afraid? No. Let me tell you why. There's a verse I hope you never forget. I'm going to quote it. Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus loved us so much that he was unafraid of anything that would seek to divert him from God's purpose to die for us. So, I'm going to ask you a question. As I look at this, I got to thinking about my own life. And I have to be honest with you, there are times that I get afraid. Why am I afraid? I'm lacking love. There is to be within me perfect love. Just like there's perfect love in Jesus. Let me see if I can help you understand this. Have you ever used the phrase to someone, hey, listen, relax. Don't sweat it. Just relax. Don't sweat it. You ever use that phrase? I want you to think about what you're saying. Do you remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden? They had perfect love for God, and they were resting in God's perfect love for them. You remember that? The first man and the first woman. But then they rebelled. They turned from God. And the garden, instead of being a place of love, became a place of fear. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were afraid of God. They didn't love him. They were afraid of him. And they weren't resting in the love of God for them. They were afraid of God. And so they hid themselves. And God came. And part of the judgment for Adam's sin is found in Genesis 3, where God says to Adam, by the sweat of the brow, you will eat. What? Yeah, Adam, full of fear, began to sweat. You say, no, wait. Are you saying Adam didn't sweat before the fall? Oh, no, he did sweat before the fall. It's called thermal sweat. This is what science calls it. And thermal sweat is natural and good. It's part of the human existence. It's what happens when your body overheats and then you have thermal sweat. It's literally a clear liquid, 99.9% pure. You could almost drink it. It's how your body cools itself down. That's a good thing. God created us like this. But when the garden full of love was replaced with fear, Adam began to sweat on his brow. Fear is exhibited in unnatural sweat. Now, again, science tells us this. This isn't just from Scripture. And you know this to be true. Have you ever been asked to speak in public? And what happens? Immediately, oh, you get scared. In fact, I was visiting with Abby yesterday. She may say something about, you know, her father. And getting before people, that is a fearful thing to do. You ever felt this kind of fear? This is emotional fear. And this is what Adam felt in the garden. And he began to sweat. Now, this kind of fear is not seen in children. This unnatural fear, which is not of God because perfect love casts out fear, which produces unnatural sweat, causes an odor. Our cosmetic industry makes billions of dollars covering up the odor of our emotional fear. But if you're a little kid, you're not old enough to be afraid. And this is why you'll often see kids, even with vicious dogs, just playing, happy, and those dogs, I mean, you know, there's no problem. I remember when I was almost a teenager, I was old enough to be afraid because I had learned about life. And there was a dog that I saw that was unchained, and that dog began to chase me. And that dog could smell my fear. This is what dogs do. They have a heightened sense of smell. And they'll often attack because they don't like the smell of fear. And that dog attacked me and bit me. And for weeks, the doctors were wondering whether or not I had rabies. They kept looking for that dog. Since that time, honestly, I've had an unnatural fear of vicious dogs. And that's why I think I loved watching the television show, The Dog Whisperer. He could walk into a pen full of vicious dogs. And in 5 minutes, he'd have them all under control. Why? Because there was no fear in the dog whisperer. Children don't have this fear, but the older they get, they get it. Older folks, senior adults, they have a tendency to lose the fear they had at middle age and revert to their childhood. In fact, in your 80s and 90s, it's sometimes called a second childhood because anthropologist author Constance says this about it. Ambition is largely passed in such people who are old, and there's a certain unsophisticated trustfulness and simplicity which replaces the hostilities of former years. The tensions of middle age are relaxed, and so emotional sweating is reduced, a time referred to as a second childhood. May I propose to you that if our hearts were full of perfect love, we wouldn't be fearing life. Because perfect love casts out fear. Scientists tell us there's a third kind of unnatural sweat. It's caused by mental stress. And it's anxiety. And this kind of sweat is seen on the brow. And it's interesting that when you read the Old Testament, remember now the premise. Adam didn't fear until he sinned. Adam didn't sweat unnaturally until he was afraid of God. There's an interesting verse in Ezekiel that talks about the priests of Israel. Listen to what the Bible says, Ezekiel 44, verse 18. The priests are to wear linen turbans on their heads so as not to wear anything that makes them perspire on the brow. Why? Listen, when you know God and you're in His presence and you rest in His perfect love for you and your heart is filled with love for Him, this perfect love casts out fear, mental anxiety, emotional fear of being rejected. This is why I believe the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will fill your heart where emotional fear is, and your mind where anxiety is. Whoa! Now watch. If you and I get this, then what happens is we find ourselves in a new situation in life. We find ourselves with maybe a decision to make. Maybe it's a new job that we're taking. Or maybe it's a new phase of living. And all of a sudden, these emotions begin arising, these emotions of fear, this anxiety. How am I going to do it? Will I fail? Here's what. Here's what needs to happen to you and to me. We've got to set our face like flint and know that the sovereign God who gave us His Son to die in our stead, He's on our side. And because He's on our side, His purpose in my life will be fulfilled and the goal that He's established for me will be accomplished. Therefore, as I'm walking along and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, listen, did you know that so-and-so
wants to hurt you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take you out.
You go tell that sly fox. Today I will continue. Tomorrow I will continue. And on the third day, I will be perfected. Just a word. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. In the face of fright, have a face of flint. But I close by showing you this. In this text, I see that there is to be a kingdom mentality in me, just like there's a kingdom mentality in Jesus. The last two verses of Luke 13 are really extraordinary. You find Jesus looking over the city of Jerusalem. He faces Jerusalem and he cries out, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I would have gathered your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." What I find interesting about this is that Jerusalem was full of Jews who rejected Jesus, but Jesus didn't reject them. You're living in a world full of people who reject Christians. Don't you reject them. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, I should have a reach for people the same way that Jesus reached out to people. This is the kingdom mentality of our Lord. Now, I think we're getting this at Emmanuel. I really do. It's really cool to see how you are reaching out to people. I mean, it's cool. You are taking time to love people, even those who might be considered your enemies. You're loving them the way Jesus loved Jerusalem. Second, kingdom people are to speak the truth in love, just as Jesus spoke the truth in love here in verse 35. "You would not receive me," verse 34. "Behold, your house is left desolate." And of course, you remember that about 40 years after this, the Roman army came and destroyed the house of God in Jerusalem. The Jewish nation was scattered. Their government collapsed. And this was the judgment that was brought to Israel because of their rejection of the Messiah. When you speak to someone you love who needs Christ, real love allows you to speak the truth. There are times when this is hard. Let me see if I can't help you. You've got someone that you love that's got an addiction. And you really love them. Okay, sometimes to speak the truth to them, it's hard. It's fearful. It causes emotional sweating. Sweating on the brow. Why? Because they can be mean like a lion, like King Herod, right? They can hurt you, right? Hey, perfect love casts out fear. That person in the addiction needs the truth. So you speak the truth in love. Too often, when we don't speak truth in love, we enable. And when we speak truth without love, we reject. We are to be the kind of people like Jesus who cried over Jerusalem, "I would have gathered you like a hen would gather her chicks, and you would not. Behold, your house is left desolate." You don't hear judgment in these words. It's just a statement of fact. You hear love. We're to be that kind of kingdom people. finally, kingdom people hope in the grace of God to conquer the hardness of hearts. He says to them, I say to you, you will not see me again until you hear, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, what does this mean? Well, it could have dual meanings. Do you remember on Palm Sunday, the week before Jesus was crucified? He comes into Jerusalem, and these same Pharisees are lining the streets, and people are throwing palm leaves in front of him. And what are they chanting? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He could have been referring to that. And these Pharisees wouldn't see him again until he comes riding that donkey, going to the cross to die for sinners. Or it could be, there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He could be referring to that day, the day of Christ. Either way, we are to pray for people who don't know Christ, even when they reject him. And we're to love them enough to speak the truth, even when they don't want to hear it. Billy blessed my heart this morning. He's here, Billy Ray Rodriguez. Last Sunday, after this second service, he's out in the foyer. He's been in prison for 20 years. He's given his life to Christ, been coming to Emmanuel's, got his first job, had a paycheck from his first job. He's out in the lobby last Sunday, and I was at home. We had meetings, a luncheon. I got home, and I saw a Facebook video that Billy Rodriguez put up. I said, Rochelle, come over here. Look at this. And here's Billy out in our foyer. And he's filming himself, and you could hear the Refuge musicians in the background singing in the next service. And Billy's basically saying, listen, friends, I've given my life to Christ. He is my Lord, and he's my Savior. And I want you to know him like I know him. And he's testifying of his faith in Christ. I scroll down a little bit on his Facebook. I love what Billy said. Guys, friends, listen to me. Stop sending me pornography. Stop sending it. I'm done with that. I'm like, wow, how cool is that? You see, Billy would take his friends and he would gather them around Jesus like a mother hen would her chicks. But some of them may not. Billy, you got to love them. Even if they don't come. You got to tell them the truth about what happens when they don't come. And you got to pray that the grace of God will break through the hardness of their hearts, like the grace of God has broken through your heart. So what have we learned? Well, Jesus making his way to Jerusalem for the last time, he's interrupted. Hey, hey, Jesus, King Herod wants to kill you. No sweat on the brow. No sweat under the armpits. Maybe some thermal sweat because it's hot. But no emotional stress. No mental anguish. You go tell that fox, I will do what God has sent me to do today. I will do what God has sent me to do tomorrow. And I will do what God has sent me to do on the third day and will be perfected. Is that your testimony? Is that my testimony? Oh, I pray that we look at Jesus and we are reminded what it means to have a face of flint in the face of fright. And whatever valley you're walking through today, you will never forget the sovereign Lord is on your side. His purpose, his goal in your life will be accomplished. Rest in his love and love people around you like Jesus loves you. And you won't be afraid of a thing. Let's pray.